And when I was born at the hospital, of course, my mom was like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? You know,
right.
Worried about what the future, what was going to happen. And pastor just shook his head and said, no, she'll be fine. Watch out for this one. She's a little engine that could.
That's okay. That's a keeper of a line.
Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as much as you'll hear, and as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance. And that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome to Christ in All Things. I am Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Shockman, and we are here with a special guest, none other than Jackie Marie Meyer. But your whole name is Jacqueline.
Correct.
Marie Meyer.
Yes.
One of the great things about this podcast for us, Jackie, is we get to know members of the congregation better. And so this is a treat, and we came up with these questions that we ask, you know, a couple years ago, but they have proved to be a great conversation starter all over the place. And we've been eager to talk with you and also with your husband later. And we decided, you know, because David is in many respects everywhere. That we would start with you, because you know he's everywhere, and you are also, but in a much more
diminutive way.
a little bit more.
and let's be fair. We actually decided that in season two, when it came to interviewing husbands and wives, we were going to interview the wives first.
Yes,
and the husbands second. Why did we decide to do that?
Because we like Jackie better than Dave.
But that's going to apply to some other couples that we have on tap to interview as well.
Well, isn't that generally the case? Well, I'm sure people that meet me and Carrie say, yeah, I like Carrie better.
Well,
so Jackie, sorry for the banter, but welcome. We're delighted to have you.
Thank you.
Back to these questions.
You get to start with the questions.
Yeah. So we always have two questions. And you know what those questions are. We've forwarded them to you ahead of time so that you would know. For our audience, the two questions are, what is your name? What does it mean? And second, what are the top 3 to 5 things that have formed you into the person that you are? Mm-hmm. But let's start with your name. What's your name?
Jacqueline Marie.
Jacqueline Marie. Do you know why that name was chosen for you?
My mom liked the name. She actually named me after Jackie Kennedy.
There you go.
But she did not like the French spelling.
Okay.
And so then she saw the way Jacqueline Smith, the actress, spelled it, and she liked that, so she used that spelling.
Okay, so you got the Jacqueline Smith spelling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, the American spelling.
The American spelling. Okay.
Right.
What does Jacqueline mean?
It means, well, it depends, actually. But primarily, it is French, but through the Hebrew root. So Jacqueline, is actually from the Hebrew root of Jacob or Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
Which means supplanter.
So he grasps at the heel.
Right. Or deceiver. Right? Yeah. So you have this beautifully feminine, light name of Jacqueline or Jacqueline, which has this really kind of nefarious meaning of supplanter, power in that, right? Tenacity in that grasping at the heel. Did you know, Jackie, your name was a powerful and tenacious name?
No.
Now you do.
So is there a there's a story she liked Jacqueline from Jackie Kennedy, but right. She didn't want the French spelling of it. Okay.
Correct.
Interesting. All right. Any other story behind that name?
No.
Okay.
How about your middle name?
So my grandma's name was Marie.
Okay.
My mom's middle name is Marie. And my other grandma's middle name is also Marie. So
two grandmas and a mother and a daughter all share the same middle name. That's pretty cool. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So do you know what it means?
No.
Okay. Here's another one of those Hebrew roots that goes through some transition. It could be a Hebrew root, but through its Egyptian influence, right? Miriam?
Oh, sure.
Right? Which would be, from its Egyptian root, would be beloved. From its Hebrew root, it would be rebellious or potentially wished for child.
Okay.
So you've got a supplanter who is rebellious. And both names, Jacqueline, the way you spell it, and Marie are the diminutive of its root name.
Okay.
So both of them in short form are tenacious and rebellious in their supplanting. Our understanding of who you are. Maybe the next question is going to totally shake that for us. We'll see.
I think it might.
Oh boy.
Good. So you thought about the other thing. What are the top 3 to 5 things that formed you as a human being?
Well, I think the first thing that happened was actually when I was born. When I was born, I was completely swollen from head to toe.
Swollen?
Swollen.
Okay.
My hands, my feet, my eyes were swollen shut for the first 2 to 3 days after I was born.
Okay.
And they did some testing and found out that I have something called Turner syndrome.
What's it called again?
Turner syndrome.
Turner's?
Yes. Okay. And so it's a chromosomal congenital syndrome. And so that came with a lot of medical issues that sometimes pop up that you have to deal with. So,
is this a genetic thing that you found, or is it just...
Yeah, well...
Okay. You said it's chromosomal. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. It just sort of happens. They don't know... I don't think they really know why.
Okay.
But so part of my chromosome is either just damaged or missing.
Oh, interesting.
And which is why I'm at the huge height of 4'10 and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
And infertility and thyroid problems that I have to deal with, but... I've been very blessed that I haven't had a lot of the problems that I could.
On the thyroid side?
In general.
In general. Okay.
Yeah. I could be looking at multiple organ failure.
Oh, wow.
Liver, kidney. I'm at high risk for aortic dissection and aortic claudication.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
I was happy just to be alive.
You have a brother or sister, if I remember rightly, correct?
Yes, I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Older brother and a younger sister.
Yes.
Okay. So I imagine your parents are, you come out and you are swollen.
Mm-hmm.
They're surprised. The diagnosis occurs sometime later or fairly quickly, or do you have any idea when?
It was fairly quickly. They knew before they left the hospital.
Okay, that you had Turner. Okay. Mm-hmm. And... Yep. So when did they start talking to you about it?
I guess they never really didn't talk about it.
Oh, sure.
It was just part of life.
Sure.
It was just, to my parents' credit, they never treated me different.
Yeah.
You know, the doctors said, oh, she'll never go to college. She won't be able to drive a car. She won't be able to do this, that, and the other thing.
That's what they told your parents?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Very hopeful.
Yes. Okay. Me being tenacious said, I'm going to do that anyway.
Yeah. So it's interesting the name fit. Now, had they picked the name ahead of time before?
I don't really know. I think they must have.
Okay.
I'm suspecting they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So this was part of your reality. So you said there's thyroid issues, there's fertility issues. Mm-hmm. So you knew from fairly early on that you were going to have infertility issues.
Right. I found that out when I was 10.
When you were 10.
Mm-hmm.
If I may, how did you take that?
That was very hard.
Yeah.
Because I always wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
And I pretty much stopped being upset about it when my mom's like, well, Jackie, you can adopt.
That's interesting.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
what a wonderful thing, A, well, I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit later. What a wonderful thing, A, for your mom. And kind of fascinating to me, Pastor Shachman,
yeah,
that response,
right,
as a 10-year-old.
Were you 10 when you kind of went, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. She knew I was upset about it. And
yeah,
she's just like, well, think about it. She's like, you can just adopt. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
So. That's the childlike faith.
For sure.
That just goes, okay. Right? I mean, it's a totally different ballgame. There, we can't.
It reminds me a little bit of your reaction. Where, you were a little bit older going. When you found out you were diabetic. Yeah.
So I was 16 when I was diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic, and my pastor came in with this tract, this little trifold that said "Why," and handed it to me, and I handed it back to him. He's like, "You might want to save that. You might want to read it later." I said, "Pastor, I don't need to know why. Here I am. Let's go, right?" I don't need to know
said
why.
Said with your good Wisconsin accent.
God has a plan, and He has this well in control. Yeah. I'm not the one in charge.
Yeah.
And there's a way for me to live and manage this and endure, and that'll be okay. So I don't know what God has in store because of this, but He certainly does, and I trust that.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
That's a really fascinating answer for a 10-year-old.
It is.
For us standing on the outside, you know, watching you and your family and how you operate in the life of the church. Oh, okay. Of course. Okay. That's fascinating.
And it's an answer that's filled with hope. It really is. It's an answer that's full of hope.
Did you waver in that? I mean, so it's one thing to say it as 10, but you know, then puberty comes, and later does that become a different challenge later?
Not really. It became hard when all of my friends started getting married and having all their kids, and
sure,
we're still in the adoption process, and it was like, okay, you know, you start going, okay, when is this going to happen? But you just know it's going to be in the right time and it's going to be perfect, and just waited. And
yeah, that adoption process can be laborious.
I can't comment on that at all.
Yeah,
because I've never gone through it. But both of you have.
Both of us have. I was thinking of you guys the other day. I know there's Lutherans for Life has an adoption conference coming up. I wish I would have thought to tell you that, but there's a Lutheran adoption conference somewhere. I think it's in Texas. I'm sorry that I didn't think of it to tell you guys. In any case, so that's number one for you was you were born with Turner syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's number two?
I would say, you know, my family, their faith, we always went to church, and we had a great pastor growing up. He actually confirmed my mom, married my parents, baptized all three of us, confirmed all three of us, did two of our weddings.
Okay.
And when I was born at the hospital, of course, my mom was like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? You know,
right.
Worried about what the future, what was going to happen. And pastor just shook his head and said, no, she'll be fine. Watch out for this one. She's a little engine that could.
That's a keeper of a line. Yeah.
And yeah. That'll be the intro clip.
That's great.
Watch out for that.
So tell us a little bit more about your family. I mean, so your family are Christian people.
Yes.
They're going and so you said the pastor who baptized you was also confirmed your mother.
Yes.
That'll happen. So did that happen prior to marriage, after marriage? How did that all work?
Well, when my mom was younger at the normal age, she was confirmed and.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So that was your, this was your, fa- your mother's family parish.
Yes.
And so they were served by one long-term pastorate.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
And the beauty of that is phenomenal in that you get the same pastor who's known you since you were a kid, who officiates at your wedding, who's then there to baptize your kids, who's then there to confirm your kids when it's time for that generation to reach that rite of confirmation. And the way a pastor gets to, I'll say it this way, stink like his sheep over that long tenure is a beautiful thing. And it doesn't happen very often these days.
Right. That's good. Good for you.
That's wonderful. And that's when, Jackie, when you talked about the faith of your family,
mm-hmm.
It struck me immediately that the first thing you talked about was the pastor that had kept Christ before you, that had fed you word and sacrament as a family. And that was pretty central to your family's life in the church.
Yeah, it was.
It was the relationship with that pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys were... going to church every Sunday. Were you? What other stuff were you? Were you involved in other stuff church wise growing up?
Not too much church wise. Well, my dad he was on boards and stuff like that.
Sure.
And my mom was more behind the scenes.
Sure.
Just helping out here and there with whatever needed.
Okay.
My sister was, she did ballet.
Okay.
And so she was very involved with her ballet group.
Gotcha.
So,
all right.
So they did a lot of that. My dad helped build the sets. My mom helped make the costumes. And I would be my sister's assistant during the show because she'd have to make quick changes. And
sure.
And I'd help out in the front of the house, ushering or whatever was needed. So
what were you into as a kid, just out of curiosity?
I liked choir.
Oh, okay. Like to sing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I liked choir. My sophomore year, I had the opportunity to actually go to Carnegie Hall and sing in Carnegie Hall.
How cool is that?
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
What did you guys sing?
Mozart's Requiem.
Oh, wow. How fun.
That's a fun piece.
Yeah.
I was in Carnegie Hall as a college student, which was great. How cool would that be to actually be in there on, I mean, I was obviously in a seat, but be up there on stage. So, Wow, good for you.
Yeah. So
what else did you get to do in New York while you were there?
We went to the Statue of Liberty, which I was on the back of the boat because there's a little ferry that takes you across.
Sure.
To go. And I was just taking pictures of the skyline, and I actually have this beautiful photograph of the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What year were you there?
92.
Oh, sure.
92 or 93.
Yep. Probably not possibly imagining that
they wouldn't stand.
Less than a decade later, they wouldn't be there.
So are you still singing?
I should get back into choir, but I haven't in a little while due to work and busyness.
I know this choir that's always looking for members.
Yeah, people that like to sing and that have a little bonus if you've got a little experience.
Yeah.
Here's your recruiting pitch.
So, hey, listener, if you're around St. Paul's and you sing or you like to sing and you've sung in a choir or you've never sung in a choir, the choir is always looking for another voice. Hey, Jackie, that could be you.
It is something I've been thinking about.
There you go.
So what else about your family was particularly formative?
I guess I would say that just how we spent quality time together, mm-hmm. you know, doing things. We would go on a week camping trip every year and, you know, just playing board games and just the memories of that quality time together.
So where was home?
Green Bay.
In Green Bay.
Yep.
Okay. So you had the whole Packer vibe going too.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
That has got to be, I remember the first time I went up, a member of the congregation gave me a ticket. I think it was for a Monday night game versus the Falcons or something like that. And I was stunned. You know, I'd been to a few college, I didn't go to a major, you know, major college, but I'd been to some major college football games. I mean, one, Wisconsin people are friendly. I mean, you go to some places and they just heckle the snot out of you. But there were, you know, there were some Falcons fans and they're drinking beer with the Packers fans and everybody's in snowmobile suits. You know, it was such an interesting vibe.
Yeah. I've been to a Browns game at Lambeau Stadium.
At Lambeau Field. Yeah.
At Lambeau Field. Yeah. Yeah. That's an experience.
So do you get, being from Green Bay, do you get tired of talking about the Packers all the time, or
no?
It's part of the deal.
Just used to it. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So was your family involved in that at all? Like, did you have a front yard that you rented out to people and made money, or
no? We didn't live close to the stadium, so
okay.
No, we didn't do that. But
yeah, I mean, don't a lot of people make some decent money?
Oh yeah,
doing definitely. That for our listeners who are outside of Wisconsin, there are people that rent their front lawns to tailgaters, and they pay their annual taxes and then some with
just
that.
Just by having people park on their lawn. Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. Dave and I went to the Indy 500 and people were parking on lawns and stuff like that. And I commented to Dave, this feels like Packer game day.
There you go.
Familiar territory. So we've got, you were born with Turners. Mm-hmm. You've got your faith that from a young age has been a stable staple for you. The family time and the quality time, the way your family spent time encouraging one another, that's three. Mm-hmm. What's the fourth? Or what's the next thing that you think really formed you into who you are?
I think it was coming here. I definitely have grown in my faith by coming here and going to the Bible studies, and I've learned a lot. I think that's definitely formed me.
So you came here as a married woman, right? What
yes.
What year did you and Dave come to St. Paul's?
2004, 2005.
So I assume you two met at, was it UW Green Bay? Or
yeah.
Someplace? Okay.
Yeah, Dave was at school at UWGB.
Okay. So. All right. And were you in school?
No, I was done.
You were done. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, all right, I want to hear the story. How did you two meet?
Your typical Wisconsin story. We met at a bar.
Yeah. No, okay. So do you remember the name of the place?
Confetti's.
Nice. Does it still exist?
No.
Okay.
Typical Wisconsin story. Yep. They met at a bar that no longer exists.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So you were finished with school.
Yes.
David's at UW Green Bay.
Yes.
And what were you doing at the time?
So I went to NWTC for medical assisting.
Yeah.
And I had graduated and was already working as a medical assistant at Prevea Clinic.
Okay.
So
you were just out at the bar one night and...
Yeah, my friend from high school called me out of the blue and is like, I'm in town for Thanksgiving. Let's go do something. And I'm like, okay. And we were just sort of there and started talking, and the rest is history.
Well, I want to know.
Okay. That's not even so close to enough.
Because, you know, the listener, you need to understand, Dave Meyer is one of our elders, and we work really closely with him on a whole host of things. So having a little background on how he actually met his wife, you know, this is actually important to us.
It is. And it's going to come in handy. So you're at the bar. You're at the bar with your friend. You haven't seen her in a while. You guys are talking, chatting, enjoying getting reconnected. And this rather short guy walks in and walks right up to you and says hello. Like, how did that work?
Well, so we were at Confetti's at the beginning of the night. And so in Green Bay, they have Washington Street, which is just lined with bars.
One bar after another.
Yeah.
Great place to do a beer crawl.
Yeah, that's what people do. And so it was the beginning of the night. We're like, well, let's leave. So we left. And at the end of the night, we came back. And that's when he saw me. And yeah, we started talking. And he just cracked me up. I'm like, you can't be serious. He just made me laugh really hard. And by the end of the night, he's like, you have to give me your phone number, and
yes,
I'm going to call
David.
You.
Way to step up, buddy. So
well
how many movies did he quote?
I don't remember.
Multiple is my guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
We speak fluent movie quotes.
Yes. Movie quotes are a staple in the Meyer household.
I like it.
So coming to St. Paul's shaped you in that you started making Bible study a regular habit.
Right.
You started growing in your faith even more. What else about life together at St. Paul's really shaped you into who you are?
I guess I would say just being part of everything, being able to help out in different areas. You know, I work at the daycare now, and being able to help in that way and work there is great. Just being part of things, being part of the community.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's time for us to have a break. When we come back from our break, what you just said, Jackie, strikes me, you know, it's something that came up in other conversations. The importance of participation has become a big issue because we've been doing this research on friendship and in the problem of loneliness in our country. And one of the big takeaways from the social research that we've done is that people who are active in church, not just to go into church even on Sunday, but are participate in the life of the congregation, are statistically, anyway, dramatically more likely to be happier, healthier, vibrant, all that stuff.
To not die from all causes.
amongst other things.
All right.
So when we come back for part two, I want to pick up on that with this conversation with you and talk about participation in church life, because my sense is people have got a lot to learn from you and your family.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift,
but it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help us make Christ in All Things a self-supporting show and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a dozen environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straws to share with your friends. Pastor Shockman loves these.
That is so not true. You love those way too much, and I still can't believe you bought them. A donation of $200 or more gets you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And a handmade Christ in All Things leather folio by the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, well, fly us wherever you want, and we will record Christ in All Things at your chosen location. Within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or the old-fashioned way, give us a call, 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.